You did it. I almost let her. But you didn't, Philip. That's what counts. He nodded rapidly, head bobbing. I guess so. He still seemed out of breath. We'd better be getting back to the party. He nodded, but he stayed where he was, breathing too deep, like he couldn't get enough oxygen. Philip, are you all right? It was a stupid question, but I couldn't think of what else to say. He nodded. Mr. Conversation. Do you want to leave? I asked. He looked at me then. That's the second time you've offered that. Why? Why what? Why would you offer to let me out of my promise? I shrugged and rubbed my hands over my arms. Because you seem to be in some kind of pain. Because you're a junkie trying to kick the habit, sort of, and I don't want to screw that up for you. That's a very decent thing to offer. He said decent like he wasn't used to the word. Do you want to leave? Yes, he said. But we can't. You said that before. Why can't we? I can't, Anita, I can't. Yes, you can. Who are you taking orders from, Philip? Tell me. What is going on? I was standing nearly touching him, spitting each word into his chest, looking up at his face. It is always hard to be tough when you have to look up to see someone's eyes. But I've been short all my life, and practice makes perfect. His hand slid around my shoulders. I pushed away from him, and his hands locked behind my back. Philip, stop it. I had my hands flat on his chest to keep our bodies from pressing together. His shirt was wet and cold. His heart was hammering in his chest. I swallowed hard and said, "Your shirt's wet." He released me so suddenly I stumbled back from him. He drew the shirt over his head in one fluid motion. Of course, he had a lot of practice in undressing himself. It would have been such a nice chest without the scars. He took one step towards me. "Stop right where you are," I said. "What is this sudden change of mood?" "I like you. Isn't that enough?" I shook my head. "No, it isn't." He dropped the shirt to the floor. I watched it fall like it was important. Two steps and he was beside me. Bathrooms are so small. I did the only thing I could think of. I stepped into the bathtub. Not very dignified in high heels, but I wasn't pressed up against Philip's chest. Anything was an improvement. "Somebody is watching us," he said. I turned slowly like a bad horror movie. Twilight hung against the sheer drapes, and a face peered out of the coming dark. It was Harvey, Mr. Leather. The windows were too high for him to be standing on the ground. Was he standing on a box? Or maybe they had little platforms at all the windows so you could watch the show. I let Philip help me out of the bathtub. I whispered, "Could he hear us?" Philip shook his head. His arms slid around my back again. "We are supposed to be lovers. Do you want Harvey to stop believing that? This is blackmail." He smiled. "Dazzling. Hold it in your hand and stroke it sexy." My stomach tightened. He bent down and I didn't stop him. The kiss was everything advertised. Full, soft lips, oppressive skin, a heated weight. His hands tightened across my bare back, fingers kneading the muscles along the spine until I relaxed against him. He kissed the lobe of my ear, breath warm. Tongue flicked along the edge of my jaw. His mouth found the pulse in my throat, his tongue searching for it, as if he were melting through the skin. Teeth scraped over the beating of my neck. Teeth clamped down, tight, hurting. I shoved him back, away. "Shit! You bit me!" His eyes were unfocused, dazed. A crimson drop stained his lower lip. I touched a hand to my neck and came away with blood. "Damn you!" He licked my blood off his mouth. "I think Harvey believes the performance. Now you're marked. You've got the proof of what you are and why you came." He took a deep, shaking breath. "I won't have to touch you again tonight. I'll see that no one else does either, I swear." My neck was throbbing. A bite. A frickin' bite. "Do you know how many germs are in the human mouth?" He smiled at me, still a little unfocused. "No," he said. I shoved him out of the way and dabbed water on the cut. It looked like what it was, human teeth. It wasn't a perfect set of bite marks, but it was close. Damn you! We need to go out so you can hunt for clues. He had picked his shirt up from the floor and stood there, holding it at his side. Bare, tanned chest, leather pants, lips full like he'd been sucking on something. Me. You look like an ad for Rent a Gigolo, I said. He shrugged. Ready to go out? I was still touching the wound. I tried to be angry and couldn't. I was scared. Scared of Philip and what he was, or wasn't. I hadn't expected it. Was he right? Would I be safe for the rest of the night? Or had he just wanted to see what I tasted like? He opened the door and waited for me. I went out. As we walked back to the living room, I realized Philip had distracted me from my question. Who was he working for? I still didn't know. It was damn embarrassing that every time he took his shirt off, my brain went out to lunch. But no more. I had had my first and last kiss from Philip of the many scars. From now on, I would remain the tough-as-nails vampire slayer, not to be distracted by rippling muscles or nice eyes. My fingers touched the bite mark. It hurt. No more Ms. Nice Guy. If Philip came near me again, I was going to hurt him. Of course, knowing Philip, he'd probably enjoy it. Chapter 27. Madge stopped us in the hall. Her hand started to go up to my throat. I grabbed her wrist.
Touchy, touchy, she said. Didn't you like it? Don't tell me you've been with Philip a month and he hasn't tasted you before.
She pulled down the silky bra to expose the upper mound of her breast. There was a perfect set of bite marks in the pale flesh.
It's Philip's trademark, didn't you know?
No, I said. I pushed past her and started to turn into the living room. A man I did not know fell at my feet. Crystal was on top of him, pinning him to the floor. He looked young and a little frightened. His eyes looked up past Crystal to me. I thought he was going to ask for help, but she kissed him, sloppy and deep, like she was drinking him from the mouth down.
His hands began to lift the silk folds of her skirt.
Her thighs were incredibly white, like beached whales. I turned abruptly and went for the door. My heels made an important-sounding clack on the hardwood floor. If I hadn't known better, I would have said it sounded like I was running. I was not running. I was just walking very fast. Philip caught up with me at the door. His hand pressed flat against it to keep me from opening it. I took a deep, steadying breath. I would not lose my temper. Not yet.
I'm sorry, Anita, but it's better this way. You're safe now from the humans.
I looked up at him and shook my head.
You just don't get it. I need some air, Philip. I'm not leaving for the night if that's what you're afraid of. I'll go out with you.
No, that would defeat the purpose, Philip, since you are one of the things I want to get away from. He stepped back then, hand at his side. His eyes shut down, guarded, hiding. Why had that hurt his feelings? I didn't know, and I didn't want to know. I opened the door and the heat fell around me like fur.
It's dark, he said. They'll be here soon. I can't help you if I'm not with you.
I stepped close to him and said in a near whisper,
Let's be honest, Philip. I'm a whole lot better at protecting myself than you are. The first vampire that crooks its finger will have you for lunch.
His face started to crumble, and I didn't want to see it.
Damn it, Philip, pull yourself together.
I walked out onto the trellis-covered porch and resisted an urge to slam the door behind me. That would have been childish. I was feeling a little childish about now, but I'd save it. You never know when some childish rage may come in handy. The cicadas and crickets filled the night. There was a wind pulling at the tops of the tall trees, but it never touched the ground. The air down here was as stale and close as plastic. The heat felt good after the air-conditioned house. It was real and somehow cleansing. I touched the bite on my neck. I felt dirty, used, abused, angry, pissed off. I wasn't going to find anything out here. If someone or something was killing off vampires who did the freak circuit, it didn't seem to be such a bad idea. Of course, whether I sympathized with the murderer was not the point. Nikolaos expected me to solve the crimes, and I damn well better do it. I took a deep breath of the stiff air and felt the first stirrings of power. It oozed through the trees like wind,
but the touch of it didn't cool the skin. The hair at the back of my neck was trying to crawl down my spine. Whoever it was, they were powerful. And they were trying to raise the dead. Despite the heat, we'd had a lot of rain, and my heels sank into the grass immediately. I ended up walking in a sort of tiptoe crouch, trying not to flounder in the soft earth. The ground was littered with acorns. It was like walking on marbles. I fell against a tree trunk, catching myself painfully against the shoulder Aubrey had bruised so nicely. A sharp bleating, high and panic-stricken, sounded. It was close. Was it a trick of the still air, or was it really a goat bleeding? The cry ended in a wet gurgle of sound, thick and bubbling. The trees ended, and the ground was clear and moon-silvered. I slipped off one shoe and tried the ground. Damp, cool, but not too bad. I slipped off the other shoe, tucked them in one hand, and ran. The backyard was huge, stretching out into the silvered dark. It spread empty except for a wall of overgrown hedges like small trees in the distance. I ran for the hedges. The grave had to be there. There was no other place for it to hide. The actual ritual for raising the dead is a short one, as rituals go. The power poured out into the night and into the grave. It built in a slow, steady rise, a warm magic. It tugged at my stomach and brought me to the hedges. They towered up, black in the moonlight, hopelessly overgrown. There was no way I was squeezing through them. A man cried out, then a woman.
"Where is it? Where is the zombie you promised us?"
"It was too old."
The man's voice was thin with fear.
"You said chickens weren't enough, so we got you a goat to kill. But no zombie. I thought you were good at this."
I found a gate in the opposite side of the hedges, metal, rusted and crooked in its frame. It groaned, a metal scream, as I pushed it open. More than a dozen pairs of eyes turned to me. Pale faces, the utter stillness of the undead. Vampires. They stood among the ancient grave markers of the small family cemetery, waiting. Nothing waits as patiently as the dead. One of the vampires nearest me was the black male from Nikolaos's lair. My pulse quickened, and I did a quick scan of the crowd. She wasn't here. Thank you, God. The vampire smiled and said,
"Did you come to watch, animator?"
Had he almost said, "Executioner?" Was it a secret? Whatever. He motioned the others back and let me see the show. Zachary lay on the ground. His shirt was damp with blood. You can't slit anything's throat without getting a little messy. Teresa was standing over him, hands on hips. She was dressed in black. The only skin showing was a strip of flesh down the middle, pale and almost luminous in the starlight. Teresa, mistress of the dark. Her eyes flicked to me a moment, then back to the man.
"Well, Zachariah, where is our zombie?"
He swallowed audibly.
"It's too old. There isn't enough left."
"Only 100 years old, animator. Are you so weak?"
He looked down at the ground. His fingers dug into the soft earth. He glanced up at me, then quickly down. I didn't know what he was trying to tell me with that one glance. Fear? For me to run? A plea for help? What?
"What good is an animator who can't raise the dead?"
Teresa asked. She dropped to her knees, suddenly beside him, hands touching his shoulders. Zachary flinched, but didn't try to get away. A ripple of almost movement ran through the other vampires. I could feel the whole circle at my back tense. They were going to kill him. The fact that he couldn't raise the zombie was just an excuse, part of the game. Teresa ripped his shirt down the back. It fluttered around his lower arms, still tucked into his waist. A collective sigh ran through the vampires. There was a woven rope band around his right upper arm. Beads were worked into it. It was a gree-gree, a voodoo charm, but it wouldn't help him now. No matter what it was supposed to do, it wouldn't be enough. Teresa did a stage whisper.
"Maybe you're just fresh meat?"
The vampires began to move in, silent as wind in the grass. I couldn't just watch. He was a fellow animator and a human being. I couldn't just let him die, not like this, not in front of me. "Wait," I said. No one seemed to hear me. The vampires moved in and I was losing sight of Zachary. If one bit him, the feeding frenzy would be on. I had seen that happen once. I would never get rid of the nightmares if I saw it again. I raised my voice and hoped they listened. Wait! Didn't he belong to Nikolaos? Didn't he call Nikolaos master? They hesitated, then parted for Teresa to stride through them until she faced me.
This is not your business.
She stared at me, and I didn't avoid her gaze. One less thing to worry about. I'm making it my business, I said.
Do you wish to join him?
The vampires began to spread out from Zachary to encircle me as well. I let them. There wasn't much I could do about it anyway. Either I'd get us both out alive or I'd die too, maybe. Probably. Oh well. I wish to speak with him, one professional to another, I said.
Why?
She asked. I stepped close to her, almost touching. Her anger was nearly palpable. I was making her look bad in front of the others, and I knew it, and she knew I knew it. I whispered, though some of the others would hear me.
Nikolaos gave orders for the man to die, but she wants me alive, Teresa. What would she do to you if I accidentally died here tonight?
I breathed the last words into her face.
Do you want to spend eternity locked in a cross-wrapped coffin?
She snarled and jerked away from me as if I had scalded her.
Damn you, mortal! Damn you to hell!
Her black hair crackled around her face, her hands gripped into claws.
Talk to him, for what good it will do you. He must raise this zombie, or he is ours. So says Nikolaos.
If he raises the zombie, then he goes free, unharmed? I asked.
Yes, but he cannot do it. He isn't strong enough.
Which was what Nikolaos was counting on, I said. Teresa smiled, a fierce tug of lips exposing fangs.
Yes.
She turned her back on me and strode through the other vampires. They parted for her like frightened pigeons, and I was standing up to her. Sometimes bravery and stupidity are almost interchangeable. I knelt by Zachary. Are you hurt? He shook his head.
I appreciate the gesture, but they're going to try to kill me tonight.
He looked up at me, pale eyes searching my face.
There isn't anything you can do to stop them.
He gave a thin smile.
Even you have your limits.
We can raise this zombie if you'll trust me.
He frowned, then stared at me. I couldn't read his expression. Puzzlement and something else.
Why?
What could I say? That I couldn't just watch him die? He had watched a man be tortured and hadn't lifted a hand. I opted for the short reason.
Because I can't let them have you if I can stop it. I don't understand you, Anita. I don't understand you at all.
That makes two of us. Can you stand? He nodded.
What are you planning?
We're going to share our talent. His eyes widened.
Shit. You can act as a focus?
I've done it twice before. Twice before with the same person. Twice before with someone who had trained me as an animator. Never with a stranger. His voice dropped to a bare whisper.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Save you? I asked.
Share your power,
he said. Teresa strode over to us in a swish of cloth.
Enough of this, animator. He can't do it, so he pays the price. Either leave now or join us at our feast.
Are you having rare who roast beast? I asked.
What are you talking about?
It's from Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You know the part. And they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on who pudding and rare who roast beast.
You are crazy.
So I've been told.
Do you want to die?
She asked. I stood up very slowly and felt something build in me. A sureness, an absolute certainty that she was not a danger to me. Stupid, but it was there, solid and real.
Someone may kill me before all this is over, Teresa.
I stepped into her and she gave ground.
But it won't be you.
I could almost taste her pulse in my mouth. Was she afraid of me? Was I going crazy? I had just stood up to a 100-year-old vampire, and she had backed down. I felt disoriented, almost dizzy, as if reality had moved and no one had warned me. Teresa turned her back on me, hands balled into fists.
Raise the dead, animators, or by all the blood ever spilled, I'll kill you both.
I think she meant it. I shook myself like a dog coming out of deep water. I had a baker's dozen worth of vampires to pacify and a 100-year-old corpse to raise. I could only handle a zillion problems at a time. A zillion and one was beyond me. Get up, Zachary, I said. Time to go to work. He stood. I've never worked with a focus before. You'll have to tell me what to do.
No problem, I said.
Chapter 28. The goat lay on its side. The bare white of its spine glimmered in the moonlight. Blood still seeped into the ground from the gaping wound. Eyes were rolled and glazed, tongue lolling out of its mouth. The older the zombie, the bigger the death needed. I knew that, and that was why I avoided older zombies when I could. At 100 years, the corpse was just so much dust. Maybe a few bone fragments if you were lucky. They reformed to rise from the grave, if you had the power to do it. Problem was, most animators couldn't raise the long dead, a century and over. I could, I just didn't want to. Bert and I had had long discussions about my preferences. The older the zombie, the more we can charge. This was at least a $20,000 job. I doubted I'd get paid tonight, unless living till morning was payment enough. Yeah, I guess it was. Here's to seeing another dawn. Zachary came to stand beside me. He had torn the remnants of his shirt off. He stood thin and pale beside me. His face was all shadows and white flesh, high cheekbones almost cavernous. What next? He asked. The goat carcass was inside the blood circle he had traced earlier. Good. Bring everything we need into the circle. He brought a long hunting knife and a pint jar full of pale, faintly luminous ointment. I preferred a machete myself, but the knife was huge, with one jagged edge and a gleaming point. The knife was clean and sharp. He took good care of his tools. Brownie point for him. We can't kill the goat twice, he said. What are we going to use? Us, I said.
What are you talking about?
We'll cut ourselves. Fresh, live blood, as much as we're willing to give.
The blood loss would leave you too weak to go on.
I shook my head. We already have a blood circle, Zachary. We're just going to re-walk, not redraw it.
I don't understand.
I don't have time to explain metaphysics to you. Every injury is a small death. We'll give the circle a lesser death and reactivate it. He shook his head.
I still don't get it.
I took a deep breath and then realized I couldn't explain it to him. It was like trying to explain the mechanics of breathing. You could break it down into steps, but that didn't tell you what it felt like to breathe. I'll show you what I mean. If he didn't feel this part of the ritual, understand it without words, the rest wouldn't work anyway. I held out my hand for the knife. He hesitated, then handed it to me, hilt first. The thing felt top-heavy, but then it wasn't designed for throwing. I took a deep breath and pressed the blade edge against my left arm, just below the crossburn. A quick downstroke, and blood welled up, dark and dripping. It stung, sharp and immediate. I let out the breath I'd been holding and handed the knife to Zachary. He was staring from me to the knife. Do it, right arm, so we'll mirror each other, I said. He nodded and made a quick slash across his right upper arm. His breath hissed, almost a gasp. Kneel with me. I knelt, and he followed me down, mirroring me as I asked. A man who could follow directions. Not bad. I bent my left arm at the elbow and raised it so the fingertips were head high, elbow shoulder high. He did the same. We clasped hands and pressed the cuts together. He hesitated, immobile. What's the matter? I asked. He shook his head, two quick shakes, and his hand wrapped around mine. His arm was longer than mine, but we managed. His skin felt uncomfortably cool against mine. I glanced up at his face, but I couldn't read it. I had no idea what he was thinking. I took a deep, cleansing breath and began.
We give our blood to the earth. Life for death, death for life. Raise the dead to drink our blood.
Let us feed them as they obey us. His eyes did widen then. He understood. One hurdle down. I stood and drew him with me. I led him along the blood circle. I could feel it, like an electric current up my spine. I stared straight into his eyes. They were almost silver in the moonlight. We walked the circle and ended where we had begun, by the sacrifice. We sat in the blood-soaked grass. I dabbed my right hand in the still oozing blood of the goat's wound. I was forced to kneel to reach Zachary's face. I smeared blood over his forehead, down his cheeks. Smooth skin, the rub of new beard. I left a dark handprint over his heart. The woven band was like a ring of darkness on his arm. I smeared blood along the beads, fingertips finding the soft brush of feathers worked into the string. The Grigri needed blood, I could feel that, but not goat blood. I shrugged it away. Time to worry about Zachary's personal magic later. He smeared blood on my face, fingertips only, as if afraid to touch me. I could feel his hand shake as he traced my cheek. The blood was a cool wetness over my breast. Heart blood. Zachary unscrewed the jar of homemade ointment. It was a pale, off-white color with flecks of greenish light in it. The glowing flecks were graveyard mold. I rubbed ointment over the blood smears. The skin soaked it up. He brushed the cream on my face. It felt waxy, thick. I could smell the pine scent of rosemary for memory, cinnamon and cloves for preservation, sage for wisdom, and some sharp herb, maybe thyme, to bind it all together. There was too much cinnamon in it. The night suddenly smelled like apple pie. We went together to smear ointment and blood on the tombstone. The name was only soft grooves in the marble. I traced them with my fingertips. Estelle Hewitt, born 18-something, died 1866. There had been more writing below the date and name, but it was gone, beyond reading. Who had she been? I had never raised a zombie that I knew nothing about. It wasn't always a good idea, but then, this whole thing wasn't a good idea. Zachary stood at the foot of the grave. I stayed by the tombstone. It felt like an invisible cord was stretched between Zachary and me. We started the chant together, no questions needed. Hear us, Estelle Hewitt. We call you from the grave. By blood, magic, and steel we call you. Arise, Estelle. Come to us. Come to us. His eyes met mine, and I felt a tug along the invisible line that bound us. He was powerful. Why hadn't he been able to do it alone? Estelle, Estelle, come to us. Waken, Estelle. Arise and come to us. We called her name in ever-rising voices. The earth shuddered. The goat slid to one side as the ground erupted, and a hand clutched for air. A second hand grabbed at nothing, and the earth began to pour the dead woman out. It was then, only then, that I realized what was wrong, why he hadn't been able to raise her on his own. I now knew where I had seen him before. I had been at his funeral. There were so few animators that if anyone died, you went, period. Professional courtesy. I had glimpsed that angular face, rouged and painted. Somebody had done a bad job of making him up. I remembered thinking that at the time. The zombie had almost pulled itself from the grave. It sat panting, legs still trapped in the ground. Zachary and I stared at each other over the grave. All I could do was stare at him like an idiot. He was dead, but not a zombie, not anything I'd ever heard of. I would have bet my life he was human, and I may have done just that. The woven band on his arm, the spell that hadn't been satisfied with goat's blood. What was he doing to stay alive? I had heard rumors of Grigri that could cheat death. Rumors, legends, fairy tales. But then again, maybe not. Estelle Hewitt may have been pretty once, but 100 years in the grave takes a lot out of a person. Her skin was an ugly grayish-white, waxy, nearly expressionless, fake-looking. White gloves hid the hands, stained with grave dirt. The dress was white and lace-covered. I was betting on wedding finery. Dear God. Black hair clung to her head in a bun, wisps of it tracing her nearly skeletal face. All the bones showed, as if the skin were clay molded over a framework. Her eyes were wild, dark, showing too much white. At least they hadn't dried out like shriveled grapes. I hated that. Estelle sat by her grave and tried to gather her thoughts. It would take a while. Even the recently dead took a few minutes to orient themselves. 100 years was a damn long time to be dead. I walked around the grave, careful to stay within the circle. Zachary watched me come without a word. He hadn't been able to raise the corpse because he was a corpse. The recently dead he could still handle, but not the long dead. The dead calling the dead from the grave. There was something really wrong with that. I stared up at him, watching him grip the knife. I knew his secret. Did Nikolaos? Did anyone? Yes, whoever had made the Grigory knew, but who else? I squeezed the skin around the cut on my arm. I reached bloody fingers toward the Grigory. He caught my wrist, eyes wide. His breathing had quickened. Not you.
Then who?
People who won't be missed. The zombie we had raised moved in a rustle of petticoats and hoops. It began crawling towards us. I should have let them kill you, I said. He smiled then. Can you kill the dead? I jerked my wrist free. I do it all the time. The zombie was scrambling at my legs. It felt like sticks digging at me. Feed it yourself, you son of a bitch, I said. He held his wrist down to it. The zombie grabbed for it, clumsy, eager. It sniffed his skin but released him untouched. I don't think I can feed it, Anita. Of course not. Fresh, live blood was needed to close the ritual. Zachary was dead. He didn't qualify anymore. But I did. Damn you, Zachary. Damn you. He just stared at me. The zombie was making a mewling sound low in her throat. Dear God. I offered her my bleeding left arm. Her stick hands dug into my skin. Her mouth fastened over the wound, sucking. I fought the urge to jerk away. I had made the bargain, had chosen the ritual. I had no choice. I stared at Zachary while the thing fed on my blood. Our zombie, a joint venture. Damn it. How many people have you killed to keep yourself alive? I asked. You don't want to know. How many? Enough, he said. I tensed, raising my arm, nearly lifting the zombie to her feet. She cried, a soft sound like a newborn kitten. She released my arm so suddenly, she fell backwards. Blood dripped down her bony chin. Her teeth were stained with it. I couldn't look at it, any of it. Zachary said, "The circle is open. The zombie is yours." For a minute I thought he was talking to me. Then I remembered the vampires. They had been huddled in the dark, so still and unmoving I had forgotten them. I was the only live thing in the whole damn place. I had to get out of there. I picked up my shoes and walked out of the circle. The vampires made way for me. Teresa stopped me, blocking my path.
Why did you let it suck your blood? Zombies don't do that.
I shook my head. Why did I think it would be faster to explain than to fight about it? The ritual had already gone wrong. We couldn't start over without another sacrifice, so I offered myself as the sacrifice. She stared.
Yourself?
It was the best I could do, Teresa. Now get out of my way. I was tired and sick. I had to get out of there, now. Maybe she heard it in my voice. Maybe she was too eager to get to the zombie to mess with me. I don't know, but she moved aside. She was just gone, like the wind had swept her away. Let them play their mind games. I was going home. There was a small scream from behind me. A short, strangled sound, as if the voice wasn't used to talking. I kept walking. The zombie screamed. Human memories still there, enough for fear. I heard a rich laugh, a faint echo of Jean-Claude's. Where are you, Jean-Claude? I glanced back once. The vampires were closing in. The zombie was stumbling from one side to the other, trying to run, but there was nowhere to go. I stumbled through the crooked gate. A wind had finally come down out of the trees. Another scream sounded from behind the hedges. I ran, and I didn't look back.
Chapter 29. I slipped on the damp grass. Hose are not made for running in. I sat there breathing, trying not to think. I had raised a zombie to save another human being, who wasn't a human being. Now the zombie I had raised was being tortured by vampires. Shit. The night wasn't even half over. I whispered, "What next?" A voice answered, light as music.
"Greetings, animator. You seem to be having a full night."
Nikolaos was standing in the shadows of the trees. Willie McCoy was with her, a little to one side, not quite beside her, like a bodyguard or a servant. I was betting on servant.
"You seem agitated. Whatever is the matter?"
Her voice rose in a lilting sing-song. The dangerous little girl had returned. Zachary raised the zombie. You can't use that as an excuse to kill him. I laughed then, and it sounded abrupt and harsh even to me. He was already dead. I didn't think she knew. She couldn't read minds, only force the truth from them. I bet Nikolaos had never thought to ask, "Are you alive, Zachary, or a walking corpse?" I laughed and couldn't seem to stop.
"Anita? Are you all right?"
Willie's voice was like his voice had always been. I nodded, trying to catch my breath. "I'm fine."
"I do not see the humor in the situation, animator."
The child voice was slipping, like a mask sliding down.
"You helped Zachary raise the zombie."
She made it sound like an accusation. "Yes." I heard movement over the grass. Willie's footsteps and nothing else. I glanced up and saw Nikolaos moving towards me, noiseless as a cat. She was smiling, a cute, harmless, model, beautiful child. No. Her face was a little long. The perfect child bride wasn't perfect anymore. The closer she came, the more flaws I could pick out. Was I seeing her the way she really looked? Was I?
"You are staring at me, animator."
She laughed, high and wild, wind chimes in a storm.
"As if you'd seen a ghost."
She knelt, smoothing her slacks over her knees as if they were a skirt.
"Have you seen a ghost, animator? Have you seen something that frightened you? Or is it something else?"
Her face was only an arm's length away. I was holding my breath, fingers digging into the ground. Fear washed over me like a cool second skin. The face was so pleasant, smiling, encouraging. She really needed a dimple to go with it all. My voice was hoarse, and I had to cough to clear it. "I raised the zombie. I don't want it hurt."
"But it is only a zombie, animator. They have no real minds."
I just stared at that thin, pleasant face, afraid to look away from her, afraid to look at her. My chest was tight with the urge to run. It was a human being. I don't want it tortured.
"They won't hurt it much. My little vampires will be disappointed. The dead cannot feed off the dead."
"Ghouls can. They feed off the dead."
"But what is a ghoul, animator? Is it truly dead?"
"Yes."
"Am I dead?"
she asked. "Yes."
"Are you sure?"
She had a small scar near her upper lip. She must have gotten it before she died. "I'm sure," I said. She laughed then, a sound to bring a smile to your face and a song to your heart. My stomach jerked at the noise. I might never enjoy Shirley Temple movies again.
"I don't think you are sure in the least."
She stood, one smooth motion. 1,000 years of practice makes perfect. "I want the zombie put back now, tonight," I said.
"You are not in a position to want anything."
The voice was cold, very adult. Children didn't know how to strip skin with their voice. "I raised it. I don't want it tortured."
"Isn't that too bad?"
What else could I say? "Please." She stared down at me.
"Why is it so important to you?"
I didn't think I could explain it to her. "It just is."
"How important?"
she asked. "I don't know what you mean."
What would you be willing to endure for your zombie?
Fear settled into a cold lump in the pit of my gut. I don't know what you mean.
Yes, you do,
she said. I stood then. Not that it would help. I was actually taller than she was. She was tiny, a delicate fairy of a child. Right. What do you want?
Don't do it, Anita.
Willie was standing away from us, as if afraid to come too close. He was smarter dead than he had been alive.
Quiet, Willie.
Her voice was conversational when she said it, no yelling, no threat. But Willie fell silent instantly, like a well-trained dog. Maybe she caught my look. Whatever, she said.
I had Willie punished for failing to hire you that first time.
Punished?
Surely Philip has told you about our methods.
I nodded. A cross-wrapped coffin. She smiled, brilliant, cheery. The shadows leached it into a leer.
Willie was very afraid that I would leave him in there for months, or even years.
Vampires can't starve to death. I understand the principle. I added silently in my head, you bitch. I can only be terrified so long before I get angry. Anger feels better.
You smell of fresh blood. Let me taste you, and I will see your zombie safe.
Does taste mean bite? I asked. She laughed, sweet. Heart-rending. Bitch.
Yes, human. It means bite.
She was suddenly beside me. I jerked back without thinking. She laughed again.
It seems Philip has beaten me to it.
For a minute I couldn't think what she meant. Then my hand went to the bite mark on my neck. I felt suddenly uneasy, like she'd caught me naked. The laugh floated on the summer air. It was really beginning to get on my nerves. No tasting, I said.
Then let me enter your mind again. That's a type of feeding.
I shook my head too rapid, too many times. I'd die before I'd let her in my mind again, if I had the choice. A scream sounded in the not-so-far distance. Estelle was finding her voice. I winced like I'd been slapped.
Let me taste your blood, animator. No teeth.
She flashed Fang as she said the last.
You stand and make no move to stop me. I will taste the fresh wound on your neck. I won't feed on you.
It's not bleeding anymore. It's clotted. She smiled, oh so sweetly.
I'll lick it clean.
I swallowed hard. I didn't know if I could do it. Another scream sounded high and lost. God. Willie said, Anita?
Silence, or risk my anger.
Her voice growled low and dark. Willie seemed to shrink in upon himself. His face was a white triangle under his black hair. It's all right, Willie. Don't get hurt on my account, I said. He stared at me across the distance a few yards. It might as well have been miles. Only the lost look on his face helped. Poor Willie. Poor me. What good is it going to do you if you're not feeding off me? I asked.
No good at all.
She reached a small, pale hand towards me.
Of course, fear is a kind of substance.
Cool fingers slid around my wrist. I flinched but didn't pull back. I was going to let her do this, wasn't I?
Call it shadow feeding, human. Blood and fear are always precious, no matter how one obtains them.
She stepped up to me. She exhaled against my skin and I backed away. Only her hand on my wrist kept me close. Wait. I want the zombie freed now, first. She just stared at me, then nodded slowly.
Very well.
She stared past me, pale eyes seeing things that weren't there or that I couldn't see. I felt a tension through her hand, almost a jerk of electricity.
Teresa will chase them off and have the animator lay the zombie to rest.
You did all that just then?
Teresa is mine to command. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, I guessed that. I had not known that any vampire could do telepathy. Of course, before last night I hadn't thought they could fly either. Oh, I was just learning all sorts of new things. How do I know you're not just telling me that? I asked.
You will just have to trust me.
Now that was almost funny. If she had a sense of humor, maybe we could work something out. Nah. She pulled my wrist closer to her body and me with it. Her hand was like fleshy steel. I couldn't pry her hand off, not with anything short of a blowtorch, and I was all out of blowtorches. The top of her head fitted under my chin. She had to rise on tiptoe to breathe on my neck. It should have ruined the menace. It didn't. Soft lips touched my neck. I jerked. She laughed against my skin, face pressed against me. I shivered and couldn't stop.
I promise to be gentle.
She laughed again, and I fought an urge to shove her away. I would have given almost anything to hit her, just once. Hard. But I didn't want to die tonight. Besides, I'd made a deal.
Poor darling, you're shaking.
She laid a hand on my shoulder to steady herself. She brushed lips along the hollow of my neck.
Are you cold?
Cut the crap. Just do it. She stiffened against me.
Don't you want me to touch you?
No, I said. Was she crazy? Rhetorical question. Her voice was very still.
Where is the scar on my face?
I answered without thinking. Near your mouth.
And how,
she hissed,
did you know that?
My heart leaped into my throat. Oops. I had let her know her mind tricks weren't working and they should have been. Her hand dug into my shoulder. I made a small sound, but I didn't cry out.
What have you been doing, animator?
I didn't have the faintest idea. Somehow I doubted she'd believe that. Leave her alone. Philip came half running through the trees. You promised me you wouldn't hurt her tonight. Nikolaos didn't even turn around.
Willie?
Just his name, but like all good servants, he knew what was wanted. He stepped in front of Philip, one arm straight out from his body. He was going to stiff-arm him. Philip sidestepped the arm, brushing past. Willie never had been much of a fighter. Strength wasn't enough if you had shit for balance. Nikolaos touched my chin and turned my face back to hers.
Do not force me to hold your attention, animator. You wouldn't like the methods I would choose.
I swallowed audibly. She was probably right. You have my full attention. Honest. My voice came out as a hoarse whisper, fear squeezing it down. If I coughed to clear it, I'd cough in her face. Not a good idea. I heard the rush of feet swishing through the grass. I fought the urge to look up and away from the vampire. Nikolaos spun from me to face the footsteps. I saw her move, but it was still blurring speed. She was just suddenly facing the other way. Philip was standing in front of her. Willie caught up to him and grabbed an arm, but didn't seem to know what to do with it. Would it occur to Willie that he could just crush the man's arm? I doubted it. It had occurred to Nikolaos.
Release him. If he wants to keep coming, let him.
Her voice promised a great deal of pain. Willie stepped back. Philip just stood there, staring past her at me. Are you all right, Anita? Go back inside, Philip. I appreciate the concern, but I made a bargain. She isn't going to bite me. He shook his head. You promised she wouldn't be harmed. You promised. He was talking to Nikolaos again, carefully not looking directly at her.
And so she shall not be harmed. I keep my word, Philip, most of the time.
I'm all right, Philip. Don't get hurt because of me, I said. His face crumbled with confusion. He didn't seem to know what to do. His courage seemed to have spilled out on the grass, but he didn't back off. Big point for him. I would have backed off, maybe. Probably. Oh, hell. Philip was being brave, and I didn't want to see him die because of it. Just go back, Philip, please.
No,
Nikolaos said.
If the little man is feeling brave, let him try.
Philip's hands flexed, as if trying to grab onto something. Nikolaos was suddenly beside him. I hadn't seen her move. Philip still hadn't. He was staring where she had been. She kicked his legs out from under him. He fell to the grass, blinking up at her like she'd just appeared. Don't hurt him, I said. A pale little hand shot out,
the barest touch. His whole body jerked backwards. He rolled on one side, blood staining his face.
Nikolaos, please, I said. I had actually taken two steps towards her, voluntarily. I could always try for my gun. It wouldn't kill her, but it might give Philip time to run away. If he would run.
Screams sounded from the direction of the house. A man's voice yelled,
Perverts!
What is it? I asked. Nikolaos answered,
The Church of Eternal Life has sent its congregation.
She sounded mildly amused.
I must leave this little get-together.
She whirled to me, leaving Philip dazed on the grass.
How did you see my scar?
She asked. I don't know.
Little liar. We will finish this later.
And she was gone, running like a pale shadow under the trees. At least she hadn't flown away. I didn't think my wits could handle that tonight. I knelt by Philip. He was bleeding where she had hit him. Can you hear me?
Yes.
He managed to sit up.
We have to get out of here. The churchgoers are always armed.
I helped him to stand. Do they invade the freak parties often?
Whenever they can, he said.
He seemed steady on his feet. Good. I could never have carried him far.
Willie said, I know I don't have a right to ask, but I'll help you get to your car.
He wiped his hands down his pants.
Can I catch a ride?
I couldn't help it. I laughed. Can't you just disappear like the rest of them? He shrugged.
Don't know how yet.
Oh, Willie, I sighed. Come on, let's get out of here. He grinned at me. Being able to look him in the eyes made him seem almost human. Philip didn't object to the vampire joining us. Why had I thought he would? There were screams from the house.
Somebody's gonna call the cops, Willie said.
He was right. I'd never be able to explain it. I grabbed Philip's hand and steadied myself while I put the high heels back on. If I'd known we'd be running from crazed fanatics tonight, I'd have worn lower heels, I said. I kept a grip on Philip's arm to steady myself through the minefield of acorns. This was not the time to twist an ankle. We were almost to the gravel drive when three figures spilled out of the house. One held a club. The others were vampires. They didn't need a weapon. I opened my purse and got my gun out, held down at my side, hidden against my skirt. I gave Philip the car keys. Start the car. I'll cover our backs.
I don't know how to drive, he said.
I had forgotten.
Shit. I'll do it.
Willie took the keys and I led him. One of the vampires rushed us, arms wide, hissing. Maybe he meant to scare us. Maybe he meant to do us harm. I'd had enough for one night. I clicked off the safety, chambered around, and fired into the ground at his feet. He hesitated, almost stumbled.
Bullets can't hurt me, human.
There was more movement under the trees. I didn't know if it was friend or foe, or if it made a hell of a lot of difference. The vampire kept coming. It was a residential neighborhood. Bullets can travel a great distance before they hit something. I couldn't take the chance. I raised my arm, aimed, and fired. The bullet took him in the stomach. He jerked and sort of crumpled over the wound. His face held astonishment.
Silver-plated bullets, Fang Face.
Willie went for the car. Philip hesitated between helping me and going.
Go, Philip. Now.
The second vampire was trying to circle around.
Stop right where you are, I said.
The vampire froze.
Anybody makes a threatening gesture, I'm gonna put a bullet in their brain.
It won't kill us, the second vampire said.
No, but it won't do you a hell of a lot of good either.
The human with the club inched forward.
Don't, I told him.
The car started. I didn't dare glance back at it. I stepped backwards, hoping I wouldn't trip in the damn high heels. If I fell, they'd rush me. If they rushed me, somebody was going to die.
Come on, Anita, get in.
It was Philip, leaning out of the passenger side door.
Scoot over.
He did, and I slid into the seat. The human rushed us.
Drive, now.
Willie spun gravel, and I slammed the door shut. I really didn't want to kill anyone tonight. The human was shielding his face from the gravel as we rushed down the driveway. The car bounced wildly, nearly colliding with a tree.
Slow down.
We're safe, I said.
Willie eased back on the gas. He grinned at me.
We made it.
Yeah. I smiled back at him, but I wasn't so sure. Blood was dripping down Philip's face in a nice, steady flow. He voiced my thoughts. Safe. But for how long? He sounded as tired as I felt. I patted his arm. Everything will be all right, Philip. He looked at me. His face seemed older than it had. Tired. You don't believe that any more than I do. What could I say? He was right. Chapter 30. I clicked on the safety of my gun and struggled into a seatbelt. Philip slumped down into the seat, long legs spread-eagled on either side of the floorboard hump. His eyes were closed.
Where to?
Willie asked. Good question. I wanted to go home and sleep, but Philip's face needs patching up. You want to take him to a hospital? I'm all right, Philip said. His voice was low and strange. You aren't all right, I said. He opened his eyes and turned to look at me. The blood had run down his neck, a dark, glistening stream that shone in the flashes of the streetlights.
You were hurt a lot worse last night, he said.
I looked away from him out the window. I didn't know what to say. I'm all right now.
I'll be all right, too.
I looked back at him. He was staring at me. I couldn't read the expression on his face and wanted to.
What are you thinking, Philip?
He turned his head to stare straight ahead. His face was all silhouette and shadows.
That I stood up to the master. I did it. I did it.
His voice held a fierce warmth with the last. Fierce pride. You were very brave, I said.
I was, wasn't I?
I smiled and nodded.
Yes.
I hate to interrupt you two, but I need to know where to drive this thing, Willie said.
Draw me back at Guilty Pleasures, Philip said.
You should see a doc.
They'll take care of me at the club.
You sure?
He nodded, then winced and turned to me.
You wanted to know who was giving me orders. It was Nikolaos. You were right. That first day, she wanted me to seduce you.
He smiled. It didn't look right with the blood.
Guess I wasn't up to the job.
Philip, I said.
No, it's all right. You were right about me. I'm sick. No wonder you didn't want me.
I glanced over at Willie. He was concentrating on his driving as if his life depended on it. Damn, he was smarter dead than alive. I took a deep breath and tried to decide what to say.
Philip, the kiss before you bit me. God, how did I say this? It was nice.
He glanced at me quick, then away.
You mean that?
Yes. An awkward silence stretched through the car. No sound but the rush of pavement under the wheels. The night flashes of lights, and the isolating darkness. Standing up to Nikolaos tonight was one of the bravest things I've ever seen anybody do. Also, one of the stupidest, I said. He laughed, abrupt and surprised. Don't ever do it again. I don't want your death on my hands.
It was my choice, he said.
No more heroics, okay? He glanced at me.
Would you be sorry if I died?
Yes.
I guess that's something.
What did he want me to say? To confess undying love or something silly like that? How about undying lust? Either one would be a lie. What did he want from me? I almost asked him, but I didn't. I wasn't that brave. Chapter 31. It was nearly 3 by the time I walked up the stairs to my apartment. All the bruises were aching. My knees, feet, and lower back were a nearly burning grind of pain from the high heels. I wanted a long, hot shower and bed. Maybe if I were lucky, I could actually get 8 uninterrupted hours of sleep. Of course, I wouldn't bet on it. I got my keys in one hand and gun in the other. I held the gun at my side just in case a neighbor should open his or her door unexpectedly. Nothing to fear, folks, just your friendly neighborhood animator. Right.
For the first time in far too long, my door was just the way I left it, locked. Thank you, God. I was not in the mood to play cops and robbers this very early morning. I kicked off my shoes just inside the door, then stumbled to the bedroom. The message light was blinking on my answering machine. I laid my gun on the bed, hit the play button, and started undressing.
Hi, Anita, this is Ronnie. I got a meeting set up for tomorrow with the guy from HAV. My office, 11 o'clock. If the time is bad, leave a message on my machine and I'll get back to you. Be careful.
Click, whir, and Edward's voice came out of the machine.
The clock is ticking, Anita.
Click.
Damn. You like your little games, don't you, you son of a bitch?
I was getting grumpy, and I didn't know what I was going to do about Edward. Or Nikolaos, or Zachary, or Valentine, or Aubrey. I did know I wanted a shower. I could start there. Maybe I'd have a brilliant idea while I was scrubbing goat blood off my skin. I locked the door to the bathroom and laid my gun on the top of the toilet. I was beginning to get a little paranoid. Or maybe realistic was a better word. I turned the water on until it steamed, then stepped into it. I was no closer to solving the vampire murders now than I had been 24 hours ago. Even if I solved the case, I still had problems. Aubrey and Valentine were going to kill me once Nikolaos removed her protection from me. Peachy. I wasn't even sure that Nikolaos herself didn't have ideas in that direction. Now Zachary, he was killing people to feed his voodoo charm. I had heard of charms that demanded human sacrifice. Charms that gave you a whole lot less than immortality. Wealth, power, sex, the age-old wants. It was very specific blood. Children, or virgins, or pre-adolescent boys, or little old ladies with blue hair and one wooden leg. All right, not that specific, but there had to be a pattern to it. A string of disappearances with similar victims. If Zachary had been simply leaving the bodies to be found, the newspapers would have picked up on it by now. Maybe. He had to be stopped. If I hadn't interfered tonight, he would have been stopped. No good deed goes unpunished. I leaned palms against the bathroom tile, letting the water wash down my back in nearly scalding rivulets. Okay, I had to kill Valentine before he killed me. I had a warrant for his death. It had never been revoked. Of course, I had to find him first. Aubrey was dangerous, but at least he was out of the way until Nikolaos let him out of his trapped coffin. I could just turn Zachary over to the police. Dolph would listen to me, but I didn't have a shred of proof. Hell, the magic was even something I'd never heard of. If I couldn't understand what Zachary was, how was I going to explain it to the police? Nikolaos. Would she let me live if I solved the case? Or not? I didn't know. Edward was coming to get me tomorrow evening. I either gave him Nikolaos, or he took a piece of my hide. Knowing Edward, it would be a painful piece to lose. Maybe I could just give him the vampire, just tell him what he wanted to know. And he fails to kill her, and she comes and gets me. The one thing I wanted to avoid almost more than anything else was Nikolaos coming to get me. I dried off, ran a brush through my hair, and had to get something to eat. I tried to tell myself I was too tired to eat. My stomach didn't believe me. It was 4 before I fell into bed. My cross was safely around my neck, the gun in its holster behind the headboard. And just for pure panic's sake, I slipped a knife between the mattress and box springs. I'd never get to it in time to do any good, but, well, you never know. I dreamed about Jean-Claude again. He was sitting at a table eating blackberries. Vampires don't eat solid food, I said.
Exactly.
He smiled and pushed the bowl of fruit towards me.
I hate blackberries, I said. They were always my favorite. I hadn't tasted them in centuries.
His face looked wistful. I picked up the bowl. It was cool, almost cold. The blackberries were floating in blood. The bowl fell from my hands, slow, spilling blood on the table, more than it could ever have held. Blood dripped down the tabletop onto the floor. Jean-Claude stared at me over the bleeding table. His words came like a warm wind.
Nikolaos will kill us both. We must strike first, ma petite.
What's this wee crap? He cupped pale hands in the flowing blood and held them out to me, like a cup. Blood dripped out from between his fingers.
Drink. It will make you strong.
I woke, staring up into the darkness.
Damn you, Jean-Claude.
I whispered. What have you done to me? There was no answer from the dark, empty room. Thank goodness for small favors. The clock read 6:03 a.m. I rolled over and snuggled back into the covers. The whir of air conditioning couldn't hide the sounds of one of my neighbors running water. I switched on the radio. Mozart's piano concerto in E-flat filled the darkened room. It was really too lively to sleep to, but I wanted noise.